Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world.
Hello, and welcome to the show, Cybersecurity Where You Are. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security, joined by two very special guests. We have Penny Davis, our Senior Manager of Leadership Development, and Waldo Perez, our Human Resource Support Specialist. Waldo, Penny, welcome to the show.
Yay, thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
You got it. Very excited. We have a great topic today. So we're talking about building and sustaining a strong workplace culture at CIS. So utilizing CIS as what we've built, what we continue to sustain. And ultimately, in this episode, what we'll dive into is, you know, some of the elements of how leadership influences culture. Representatively, how we have a bottom-up culture with respect to the organization as well. Looking at some key indicators of where you can identify strong or weak cultural elements. Also want to take a look at some examples where we've seen staff represent our culture, utilizing leadership principles, utilizing elements where we see retention strategies, building cultural sustainment, and also how we grow and evolve as an organization. How do we make sure our core cultural identity is maintained? So without further ado, let me jump into it. Waldo, I want to get your perspective on really how you define or look at workplace culture from an HR perspective.
Thank you so much, Sean. I believe that this could vary from person to person. However, specifically for me, it's in the name. Being aware of that human aspect of what we are or what we do. And it will vary significantly depending on organizations, but the one thing that won't vary will be that human aspect, right? So making sure that we stay in touch with it, and not only that, but foster an environment where humanity is not lost, and overall, we can look for ways to always thrive, go through all the challenges that an organization will have, whether it is growing, whether it is external policy changes. All in all, we can always know that there will be someone looking out for that aspect, right? Like the human aspect. So that's how I see it. That's why I decided to pursue my career in HR. Initially, I was a people's leader, you know, like I would lead a team of people. And I realized that I wanted to combine that passion with something that I could also do on my own. That's how I get to see it.
No, fantastic. I think you're 100% right. You know, one of the ways I view it as well, and one of the elements that I see encouraged from HR is the building, this identity of the culture, recognizing that it exists and giving it kind of an opportunity to grow and maturate, and in some cases, manage and provide opportunities for all of us. And, you know, we're part of a growing organization. We've done a lot of that growth in the last few years. So Penny, you know, coming in and your role, and obviously I'm learning a lot from you and my own leadership development, but how do you see leadership directly affecting necessarily or shaping company culture?
Yeah, when it comes into leadership, and, you know, we can talk about the different levels of leadership, because where does it really begin? Like, I know it when I see it, but I'm not sure, you know, how to define it. But, you know, when it comes to leadership, regardless of where you're sitting, the number one influencer that I see over and over and over again is the lead by example. It's when people are vulnerable and they do that, or when they say, hey, I'm going to take my wellness hour and I'm going to go do some yoga because I'm feeling a little stressed. You know, when people see their leaders doing these things to take care of themselves psychologically, to take care of themselves at work, to make sure that they're meeting their goals and deliverables, right? When they see that example, it's licensed to them to participate in the same fashion. And so I think regardless, again, you're a middle manager or you're all the way up at the top and the CEO and a very visible, you know, people are watching, they're paying attention to what you're doing and they're taking cues from that. And so I think that leaders sometimes don't realize how much of an impact they're having on culture because they're not leading these big programs or anything. You know, we have our wonderful events team to do that. But every time they participate in one of those programs, they're telling their team that, hey, this is a part of who I am at CIS, and it gives them license to also join in and be a part of that too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, like you say, you know, where is that defined? We're all leaders in a lot of cases in terms of our responsibilities. And I'd love the influence piece, Penny. Obviously, it's one of the, you know, kind of the next point that I want to make is on key indicators, where we're looking at strong and weak company culture. And then we start to address where we representatively have leadership in the space of culture development is very important as well, contributing to some of our in-house activities. You know, we do a lot of engagement. Again, kind of the new normal, I think Penny has set us up to that we have to in order to, one, keep the culture, like we'll go pre-pandemic to where we are now. And we've engaged, we've built something different, but something as strong. And so, you know, Waldo, when I think of, you know, key indicators of strong versus weak company culture, I think we're starting to exemplify that. Are there any thoughts that you have in terms of, you know, key indicators that you would be looking for in your role for identifying weaknesses in terms of our culture or where you see strength and you know, it kind of builds the confidence of what we've created is sustaining and continuing to grow?
Great question, Sean. I think that an organization that doesn't necessarily pay attention to their employees unequivocally face a lot of issues. And that's something that I really like about CIS. And that was even before I joined as an intern. I did my research and I looked it up. I was looking at benefits and things that I was doing my comparison. I was doing my homework. And what really inspired me to apply to CIS was seeing all of the benefits that it offers their employees and opportunity of growth and all of the care that was also being showcased by people that would leave their opinions online on certain forums. Now, what could be indicated as a strong indicator strong versus weak company culture? I would say exactly that. What are you doing for your employees? Right? Like, what kind of investments are you doing for them? And hopefully I'm not biased by being in HR, but I believe that CIS is one of those organizations that puts a lot of emphasis on their employees and on their growth and development.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're biased at all. I think this is, we'd actually, inspiring parts of this episode, I had a discussion as part of the podcast with Carolyn and Heidi Gonzalez and Jen Myers. As part of looking at culture when we were here on site for the Winter Wonderland party that we had, again, collecting everybody here at headquarters. And it was this that inspired the thought, because when we started discussing certain elements, it was not a revelation to me necessarily, but it was where HR and the programs that are in place are necessarily Penny's work in leadership development, your work, obviously, in supporting the organization, Waldo, is so critically important. And the time, the effort, and what we put in terms of an investment in the individual, as well as the team, as well as the organization, it's incredible. It's not just something that I think we do as, oh, that was lucky happenstance that we actually did this. It's a curated program that I think is very, very indicative, representatively, of understanding how important culture is for a well-functioning organization. Very healthy, I think, in some cases, Penny. So any thoughts there on your side, Penny, what you've seen and some of the influence that you've had as well with respect to our culture?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I've only been here for just about 2 years. I'm getting there. So it's not that long ago that I was in a similar position that Waldo was talking about, where I'm shopping, right? I'm looking for where is my next best fit. And some of the things that I looked at right away are exactly what Waldo's talking about, that employee value proposition, right? Employees are looking for a good culture, and they're looking for that in this little package that we offer them that includes not just pay, right? It's all these other benefits. So that's one way that's really a kind of that basic indicator, right? You can look at any company, and if they have a good employee value proposition, then they're on the right path. It might be a good indicator of a strong culture. But really that ends up being only the top level, because you can have that, but then if you get into the actual culture and you're surrounded by employees and leaders who are agreeing on everything, who are choosing path of least resistance, who are, you know, those things where they show up, it seems very harmonious. It seems like, wow, maybe is this a well-oiled machine? But the truth is that it's not, right? Real, real good culture, a real good key indicator of a healthy and strong culture is, I think, very visible in one of our leadership principles, debate and commit. Right. It might be the favorite leadership principle. I hear it quoted so much throughout. But, you know, saying that, hey, it's okay to disagree. It's okay to bring up different things. And then finally, we'll find a path together. We'll commit and we'll move forward. You know, that's really, I think, where there's that key indicator that you can see. So that's something that I looked at once I started. And I was thinking, okay, how can I help people take advantage of that, right? How can I help create situations where they can debate and commit? How can I help them be better at communication, at public speaking, at critical thinking, at problem solving, all of these different skills? And I came down to one thing that I now try to influence everybody that I meet on, and that is self-awareness, right? What can I do to help you be more self-aware? Because the more self-aware we are, the more open we are to things like debating and committing, taking advantage of offering our employees all of these amazing benefits that cost money. It's an investment. Aldo said that, right? He said it was like investing in your employees. We mean dollars and cents. It's another indicator, right? Are you spending any money on your employees? If you're not, you might not have a very strong culture, because you may not be able to create those spaces where you can help people with their own self-awareness to then, you know, debate, commit, show up, and really invest themselves in the community. That's how I know we have a good one, because every time I hop on a manager's monthly call, there are questions in there that are hot topics that are people being like, why are we doing this? Or why are we not doing this, right? That to me is very healthy.
Definitely. Well, you know, speaking of that, and you know, one of the questions I was going to ask was, you know, when have you seen company culture make a real difference in an employee's experience? And one of those that I'd seen, Penny, and it's that monthly review that you had worked with, you know, we call the lean coffee element, right? And we do that. You bring such a different perspective and a different way of thinking that helps us grow necessarily. And it helps institute a culture of awareness, debate, and commit. I think that is exemplified in that respective approach. But it also leads me to setting the example in a lot of cases. This is where we need to be as an organization. One is tackling different problems, looking and working collaboratively from a leadership management perspective, and being able to build necessarily such, you know, and it's really become an institutional process. And you probably don't want me to do this, but I'm going to say our President Award winning Penny has provided that to the organization. But that was one of the experiences when I saw that it is represented as a difference, right? There was innovation. There was something you brought to the table, working with others, right, to build mm-hmm. this capability. And it has affected necessarily the way we approach problems, problem solving, and also creating connections across the organization. So that representatively, you know, I'm answering my own question with how I saw that experience. But I think it's so emblematic of what we're trying to do. So Penny, you know, obviously I put you on the spot and apologies, but obviously congratulations.
Thank you.
But how do you see that kind of referenced in the employee's experience, and how it makes that real difference in, you know, from the employee's point of view?
Yeah, I think what it makes a real difference is that we're not just talking at them, right? I think a lot of times we think that a communication or information-based campaign is what is going to engage people to take action. And the truth is, you know, we're all wired with these incredibly thick neural pathways that are pre-wired to think how we think and to act how we've always acted, right? So if we want people to show up and we want them to be innovative, to be creative, because we know that they can be, that's where you really have to make make them just a little uncomfortable. And I think that's what I love about Lean Coffee is that it does. It kind of lets everybody get a little uncomfortable so that they can actually then move forward in generating that culture and solving those business problems. And we've recently instituted also a part of it, I'll totally brag about it. We've recently instituted a part that's connect before content, which is something that that actually Heidi Gonzalez brought to CIS. But we've instituted just a small piece of it into the Lean Coffee, where we put them all in breakout rooms and we give them, you know, two discussion topics and we say, hey, you've got 5 minutes. Best part is we're in the background doing affinity mapping. So like we're doing something. It's very important. But they get to actually connect with some of their peers across the company because they're the ones getting the work done, right? We don't want them to just show up to this Lean Coffee and that's the work they do. We want them to show up to this Lean Coffee, get really excited or maybe even a little angry. I'm okay with that too. That's engagement, right? Where are you at in this topic? And then go off and now with their new peer, go try to tackle a problem, right? And strengthen the company through that.
Oh, well, exactly. It's I think it's, you know, where we're kind of stretching the employees to fit, you know, a way, like you say, being uncomfortable. And I think it really does generate, as it were, that engagement, because it's, you know, the way you pointed that out is you're not just turning up to be a blank face on a call necessarily, obviously video conferencing. You are a contributing factor to either the questions, the prioritization, are we moving on to a different topic? You've got to continuously engage. So wonderful, wonderful. Waldo, you know, same question over to you with respect to where you've seen company culture make a difference in an employee's experience here at CIS. Any examples, any thoughts there?
Yes. So I'm going to speak on an area that I'm a little bit more familiar with. So I've been kind of like assisting with the onboarding part, like particularly when it comes to assisting the employees, you know, like with their intake meetings, making sure that they are feeling welcome and also guide them in the right direction. I wanted to say big shout out to my whole team. Everybody's amazing when it comes to the very beginning, you know, like talent acquisition. Setting up that connection with the hiring manager, with the employees, all the way forward to our HR ops team that takes care of setting up all of that process. Now, in the middle of that, we have implemented a program that you probably have heard about. It's called Onboarding Buddies, and that program essentially what it does is that volunteers, CIS people that have gone through the same process. People that were new hires at a certain point, you know, they're like, hey, we want to assist with the onboarding process. We want to be part of that, right? And I feel that kind of like speaks as the organization, because that means that we are here for each other, right? Like whether it's the HR team following up directly or whether it's employees looking out for each other. So that's one of the examples that I most recently can speak about and kind of like mention.
Well, absolutely, because I think the onboarding is, you know, it's that first impression in a lot of cases. Curating that in such a way of one, building, you're just not another person filling a seat. You are a person filling a role here in the organization and the importance of that role. Being able to do it in such a way that one, you know, here's a volunteer. And again, I think that's a very, but it's not someone, oh, you're assigned to this person to do this. It's volunteerism. And it's bringing again that culture in order to necessarily reflect that we, one, want to make a difference to your onboarding experience. Very stressful time, you know, moving into, you know, being part of a new organization. What's it going to be like? Am I going to like what I'm doing? Am I going to like the people? There's a lot of different questions in that. And being able to do this through a process helps. I think one, with integration kind of immediately necessarily into who we are as an organization, but then also bringing that comfort, right? Giving that confidence, I did make the right decision, right? I'm at the right place necessarily because of these certain factors. And I think that's so emblematic of really HR's approach. And Waldo, as you mentioned, bringing this program to light is so important that ultimately, I think it's need, and Penny, I'd love to get your thoughts on this, is we did, you know, we touched on the fact that we're, you know, remote or hybrid in a lot of cases, and that connectivity to the culture you know, I think has augmented to a remote, capable culture, which is, that was difficult in the first place. But now to see it growing and utilizing programs such as Waldo had mentioned, I think that's a true testament to our commitment to culture here at CIS. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that you brought up, you know, the remote or hybrid environment. Maybe we've talked about it too much just as an industry, but you know, it is in a lot of ways the new norm, and it does mean that now we are being, and we're forced to be very intentional about how we bring people together to create this culture. The truth of the matter is that it was always intentional. You know, if you're not putting intent behind it, then you're not really creating a culture, right? So the culture will create itself and then it'll eat you. So instead, you know, you have to put that intention behind it. And what I see CIS continuously doing, even before Onboarding Buddies, which I love being an onboarding buddy, can I just say, it's such a great program. It's such an easy lift. It takes almost no time out of my day. And it gives me great feelings. And I'm not the new hire, right? So like, that's great. But you know, we started all the way in the interview process. We even have a cross-functional interview that we do as part of the process, where we bring people from, you know, different functions in to meet this candidate. And they don't talk about the technical part of the job. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about culture fit. And I've noticed that, because, you know, we're doing that to make sure that we're hiring the right people for our culture. But I've noticed that the flip side of that is that now we have these folks who are impressed with how much effort we put into the interview process. So even from there, and then they see it continue through the onboarding process to the point where they're actually, you know, they're doing their job. And I don't have any statistics to say this is increasing speed to competency, but I cannot help but think that it is, because, you know, it's so stressful, like you said, and when you're stressed out, you don't always do a good job. So I know that decreasing that stress throughout there is really, really helping all of our employees, you know, onboard and be such strong contributors intentionally to our culture.
Exactly right. Yeah, no, I couldn't have said that better myself. That's fantastic. And it really leads us down, you know, kind of this path as well. So, you know, Waldo, when I'm thinking about this as part of the process, it's a lot of feedback as well, right, into the organization, into our processes. You know, have you seen any feedback that you're aware of that has led to either positive cultural change or just an ability for someone to express themselves, either new into the organization or maybe been here a little bit, and, you know, they're able to have that positive effect because we listen, right? And I think that's an extremely important criteria of culture, is not my definition, your definition, it's our definition that helps us build an ability to have the confidence to, you know, mention things that either need to be improved or, you know, as you mentioned, Waldo, programs that can help perform integration and help individuals become part of this organization. But any feedback that you're aware of from employees that have helped or led to positive cultural change?
Oh, yes. When it comes to feedback, I know that's something that the organization probably feels a lot. Like, we want information, right? So we send out plenty of surveys multiple times a year, kind of like trying to understand where we're standing, where are the employees standing. And we have a task force where we go through all of these feedback and process it and start applying it as much as possible. One of the examples that I provided earlier as the onboarding bodies, that came up as feedback that later on they decided to start implementing. And as of right now, it's going great. There are many other programs and initiatives that we are planning to. However, given that they're still in the baking stage, I'd rather not, like, just leaving in the oven a little longer. However, I do want to say that we take into consideration everything that employees say. And that includes through every kind of surveys, whether it is through EnerGage, whether it is through 30-day surveys or 90 days, to exit surveys. We take into account all of the feedback. We also put a lot of emphasis into our interns. I am not as qualified to speak to this as our internship specialist, Courtney Jones, but a lot of the feedback that doesn't get mentioned a lot is on the internships and how they are run. And that's one of the examples. Courtney has been in an amazing job on that end. But again, I'm not going to speak too much on that either. So I just want to leave it at that.
No, absolutely. We got to give shout outs, right? And again, it's another part of the culture is we love celebrating everybody's successes and abilities and their really great work that they contribute to making us who we are. It's fantastic that we, we really do have, across HR, across many different teams, we've got some of the very best in this space really contributing to making us even better. And I think that feedback is so important, right? Like you say, the surveys taken very, very seriously. This is not just something to as a checkbox element, right? This is, we need that in order to continue to improve, identify. And like you said, the onboarding buddies was part of that as well. Fantastic. These are great ideas and we provide recognition for these. And, you know, I really do feel, and Penny, I'd love your thoughts on this and a secondary question, but I really do feel everybody has a voice. And having a voice, I think, is emblematic of a strong culture. And then my second question is part of your program, we've got a lot of leadership training, development programs, really helping us to evolve either our way of thinking, critical thinking processes, awareness, and things of that nature. You know, how is that helping sustain company culture? So a part A and a part B for you there, Penny.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Well, and I'm so glad you're giving me the opportunity for part A because I do have something to say on that. You know, if you're listening to this part, you're probably like, okay, well, CIS is amazing. They do everything right. Great for them, right? When the truth is that we do actually have an issue that we're tackling right now, and that is survey fatigue. Right? We do survey our employees quite a bit. We care about their feedback. I think one of the ways that we have been able to circumvent survey fatigue and how we're combating it now is not only making sure that, again, our surveys are very intentional, we're not doing it just for fun, right? But then two, we're taking that information and we're putting a lot of work into getting that information back to those middle managers, back to the leadership department leads, you know, people who can actually implement some actual change in their organizations. We're getting all of that, you know, that information anonymously and safely into their hands so that they can take action. But we don't just do that because, again, remember, information-based campaign doesn't work. So we're partnering with them. HR, I say we because I'm kind of like tagging onto this a little bit as you know, an offshoot of HR, but that HR is partnering with them then to also figure out, okay, how are you going to do this? What change are you going to make, and how can we do this to improve your teams? And that partnership is critical too. Everyone needs an accountability buddy. So that partnership also makes that work. So if you're having trouble, the answer is not just survey everybody, right? Survey, but then do something about it and see them all the way through. Switching over to kind of your part B on how do you use, you know, leadership programs and things like that to actually influence culture positively. One of the first things that I did when I came into CIS is that I hit the data, and I am absolutely a people person. I am not a data person, but I know how important it is. So I hit that data and I found out the top 100 people who have, I think, the most influence in our company culture. And it's because they're right smack dab in the middle, right? They're influencing below them. They're influencing at the peer level and they're influencing also their bosses. So that's the group that I have been targeting for leadership development. Now, everybody benefits. If you're a high potential, you can take these courses and you're going to be better when you're ready, right? If you're a director or above and you're a little bit further along in your leadership journey, these are great reminders. And oh my gosh, now you're in a position to reinforce everything, right? So it's all about getting to that middle group and giving them the opportunity to see what these skills are and build them and do it in a way that's collaborative, that's not boring. I'm not just having them click things on a screen, right? That doesn't work. It's got to be social. It's got to be, you know, fun. So we really focus on doing that, but also then leaving some room for individualization as well, because I don't want people to go away from this thinking, okay, I'm just going to provide one leadership program to my middle managers and poof, we're going to have a beautiful culture. It's going to help, but you also need to leave some room for in some individual development as well, because the minute that an employee feels lumped in with a bunch of other employees and not valued for their individuality and what they bring specifically to our company, that's when you lose their interest and that's when you use their discretional effort, right? And we want that discretional effort. So that's another piece that I'm trying to crack next is that individual development leadership plan, right? Getting them on their own paths too.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And I think, again, it's just this, I think, you know, we're not just resting on the fact that we've got a great culture, we're continuously building it, right? And I think, Penny, you know, these programs you mentioned are to help the individual, you know, so we've been focused on respective subgroups, perfectly fine, that's a good approach. And now it's getting into where you can tailor necessarily to a learning style, where they are on their journey. And an approach that necessarily is going to maximize representatively that return necessarily on that investment that we're putting into the individual and putting into teams and things like that. So it really does help to consider, you know, you can think, oh, we've got a strong culture. That's it. You know, we're not going to do anything to curate it or do anything. And I think that's where organizations tend to feel achievement, where ultimately it's an element of continuous improvement. And we've got to see a little bit further. We've got to help and develop as, you know, as we bring new people into the organization, we do new things as an organization, we necessarily have to adapt to that as well.
Right. If we're going to ask our employees to continuously improve themselves, we have to continuously improve our programs, right?
Exactly. We have to be right there on the journey with them. No questions. And with that, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Most organizations want to streamline their cybersecurity and compliance efforts.
It's just not always easy to do so on your own.
That's where a CIS Secure Suite membership can help.
It provides benefits, tools, and resources designed to help you implement the CIS critical security controls and CIS benchmarks.
Secure Suite can help you strengthen your cyber defenses, comply with common standards and cybersecurity frameworks, all while saving you time, money, and effort.
Apply for membership today by visiting cisecurity.org.
Start secure and stay secure with CIS Secure Suite.
Thank you, and let's jump back into the episode. Well, unfortunately, that brings us to really the end of the episode. I'm kind of feeling there's a part two, Penny Waldo. I don't know about you.
Yes, please.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, again, thank you to you both. Again, phenomenal work. We are not here without your contributions, without your thought leadership, and without necessarily your abilities, and that's emblematic to really building CIS to what it is. So thank you to you both. And thank you to the audience. Again, remember to subscribe in all the usual ways. Check us out on YouTube at The CI Security. And with that, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.